in my church in Strathroy. We're having a prayer challenge for the coming year. A prayer challenge in that we're focusing and asking the congregation to pray for four things. First, that they would know God's love. Second, that they would know and experience God's presence and activity in their lives. Third, that they would know God's will. And then fourth, that we would all have the strength and courage to join God in the work that he's doing. And so as part of that prayer challenge, then this is the sort of the first sermon that I was, I'm in the midst of preaching within that that sermon series. So it's focused on knowing God's love. I was given a clicker. I've never used the clicker. I've always made someone else pass the slides on. So we'll see how that goes. If I fall behind, it's all on me. Now on the screen, you'll notice something called the Maslow's hierarchy. Maslow was a psychologist back in the 40s, and he put this together. So basically what we have is on the bottom of the triangle, it lays out some of the very basic human needs that we all have. And it starts with physiological needs. So it starts with the need for food and water and shelter and sleep and things like that. The next step within that hierarchy is the need for safety, something that we are very aware of on this day of Remembrance Day, the need that we have for security, to know that we are safe and that we have freedom, and as a result that we, in that security that we have, then we're allowed to do other things. On top of that, then, the next step is the need for love, the need for friendship, for intimacy, for a sense of connection and belonging. Now, Maslow would argue that if we have, if the basic needs, if the bottom needs on this hierarchy, on this triangle aren't met, then a person will never develop in those higher needs. As a result, if the bottom needs aren't met, a person will struggle with self-esteem or motivation or other important elements in their life. And we know from other studies that if these lower needs aren't met, that it will have a significant impact on the development of a child. And so as my wife and I are foster parents, and we see this regularly in children that come into our homes, children who didn't have basic food, who were deprived of food or perhaps deprived of security because they lived in such an unstable environment. Developmentally, in terms of just basic reading habits and things like that, their speech and so on were impacted because the lower needs weren't met. Now, the reason that I highlight this, I mentioned this, highlights one very basic thing for us today, and that is the need for love in our lives. We all need to know that we are loved, that we are cared for, that we belong somewhere, anywhere. We all have this innate need within us to be loved. And so we have a need for deep and personal relationships and for connection. But ultimately, really what it comes down to is we need to know that we are loved. And this need for love, especially when that need isn't met in healthy ways, can often, and it will often, have a huge impact on our behavior. And so as you hear stories of young people entering into gangs, as you notice perhaps your kids or your grandkids or other kids that are hanging out with friends that even those kids know aren't good for them, yet they still hang out with them. If you ever wondered why people end up in bad relationships, sometimes even abusive relationships, and they refuse to get out even though they know better, The reason is because these relationships offer belonging. They're a place where they feel, at least on some levels, where they feel love and acceptance. You see, if we have an unmet love need inside of us, we will look to fill that need wherever we can. And as a result, then, that thing that fills that need in our lives can often have a very powerful hold on us. It's also, I believe, why addictions can become so hard to break, because we are using that addiction to fill a significant need in our lives. And so increasingly in our culture, we are looking for love and intimacy in things like one-night stands, Tinder, serial monogamy, or affairs. Our sex-addicted culture is really what they're looking for is love and belonging. And I believe that our porn addiction is tied to much the same thing. It's all about us trying to fill this need for love and belonging in our lives. It's that looking and desiring for intimacy that... But it's not just that as well. It can also come out in our desire for recognition. And so it can be played out in our drive to succeed in sports, in business, and in many other, in school and many other places. We want to succeed so that other people will recognize us, so that they will love us, so that they will value us. Don't ever underestimate the power of love and the drive to fill this need in our lives, even if we're filling it in unhealthy ways. And so in light of all of that, then, I want us to take some time to look at Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. And really, in the end, it becomes Paul's prayer for us. Now, Paul earlier has just been talking about the salvation that we can only find in Jesus Christ. A salvation that's made available not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. A salvation that is available for all of us. And so Paul writes, "And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." That's what Paul is praying, that Jesus might dwell in our hearts, that we might know the salvation that we can only find in him, and that all that we need to receive this salvation, all we need to receive God's grace and forgiveness, all we need to do to receive the promise of eternal life, all we need to do is to believe in Jesus, is to trust that he didn't just die for the people in the biblical times, that he didn't just die for the Jews and Gentiles of the church in Ephesus, but that he died for you and for me. Jesus died so that we could all be saved. And so Paul prays that we would know that salvation that we can only find in Jesus. But Paul's prayer doesn't end there. He then goes on to pray that we would know God's love for us. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Paul wants to be sure that we know God's love in our lives. A love that he says, that he admits, he says, it's impossible for us to fully grasp this love, but he wants us to know this love as best we can. And we see this love described for us throughout Scripture. If we think back all the way to Adam and Eve when they fell into sin, the reality is at that point in time, God could have wiped them away. He could have started over. But he didn't. Instead, he chose to begin a plan of salvation to deal with sin. He chose instead to show them his love. And that's why he chose Abraham to be the father of a nation who God would then use to bring salvation to all people. It was another act of love. And then, of course, John 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." For God so loved the world that even when it continually turns its back on him, even when his people couldn't faithfully follow him, even then, God still shows his love. The reality is, if we were God and had to deal with us, had to deal with the world, we would have given up on us long ago. We would have wiped everyone away and started over fresh many years ago, because the reality is our love is limited. It's easily overshadowed by our anger and our frustration and our lack of forgiveness, but not God's love. God loves us. God loves the people of this world so deeply that he sent his own Son to die on the cross to forgive our sins. Romans 5, verse 8, which we read already in the service. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't die for us because we were holy and worthy and righteous or just genuinely good people. No, Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. While we were still unworthy, unrighteous. While we were just plain bad, miserable, difficult to get along with people. And he did all of this for us. Why? Because he loves us. God loves us. In spite of all of our sin, in spite of all of the messes that we have made in our lives, in spite of all of our brokenness, in spite of all of the hurt that we've caused, in spite of everything that we have ever done that we are ashamed of, in spite of it all, God loves us. He loves you, and he loves me. He does. He loves us. We are precious in his sight. He adores us. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He takes great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing." The picture that we find in this passage is of a father with a newborn child in their arms, full of love and singing and delighting over this precious child. That's a picture of how God views us. God delights in us. He rejoices over us. He loves us that much. We are special to him. I am loved by God. Say that with me. I am loved by God. Now, the reality is that this can be hard at times for us to accept. Too often we don't view ourselves as being worthy of God's love. Sometimes we even struggle to understand how God could love us. That, or very simply, we have just never experienced this kind of love in our lives. Now, we hear the words that God loves us. We know that the Bible says God loves us. We know in our heads, but we've never really experienced it in our hearts. We know God loves us, but we don't really know God loves us. And that's why Paul is praying and he asks that we would know God's love. That we would know the width and the length and the height and the depth of God's love. That we would know it in our lives. That we would experience it in our inner being. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That we would be so full of God's love that it overflows throughout our entire lives. But why is this so important? Why is it so necessary for us to know God's love? Because knowing God's love is a basic need in our lives. If we look again at Maslow's hierarchy, we recognize this. You see, without love, we will never experience the proper physical and psychological development. Love is a very basic human need. Now, I recognize that this document here that you're looking at, it's not a Christian document. It's talking about basic human needs. But I believe very much so that there is truth here. We need love. We need friendship. We need intimacy. This is the way that God created us in the Garden of Eden. God created Adam. He was all by himself, and God said it is not good for him to be alone. At the same time, we all recognize that as humans, we are fallen and we are sinful. And so we are unable to love each other perfectly. No one in human history has ever been loved to the fullness of what they need to truly succeed or thrive. Everyone except perhaps Jesus. You see, the tank is never full. We always need more love. Other people, whether they're our parents, our friends, our spouse, our children, they will all fail us in terms of loving us perfectly. They can't fill our tank. And what that means then is that we all need more love than what we're presently experiencing. We all need a stronger sense of intimacy, belonging, friendship, and connection. We all need more. But hear this now, because it is extremely important. There is not a person in this world who can fill your tank. There is not a person in this world who can fill your tank. No one can love you that much. They can't. It is impossible. Because you see, we were also created not just to be in relationship with each other, but we were created to be in relationship with God. We were created to be loved by God and to know His love in our lives. That's all part of our love need. We all have this God-sized hole inside of us. Now, we try to fill our tank with lots of different things. And that's where the problems come in that I mentioned earlier. Bad friends, casual sex, porn addictions, the list goes on. That is us trying to fill our love tank with other things. But you see, only God can love us enough to fill that emptiness. Only God can love us enough to fill that tank. Only God can love us enough to make us feel full. Only God can do that. We need God's love in our lives. We do. And that's why Paul prays and he asks and he longs for us to know the fullness of God's love. Because when we know God's love in our lives, that changes everything. If you look again at Maslow's hierarchy, you will notice that when we feel love and belonging, it builds our self-esteem, and it allows us to live out the fullness of who God has called us to be. Knowing God's love in our lives gives us the confidence then to serve God fully in all that we do. Add to that, the more we know God's love for us, the more it fills us, the more we will live out that love in our lives. Now, 1 John 4, verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. You see, the more that we know God's love, the more we will be able to love others. It will impact then how we deal with the people around us. In fact, we will become known then not as people of anger and judgment as too many Christians are. Instead, we will be known as people who are full of love, people who are full of grace, people who are full of forgiveness, as people who are full of God's love. And since everyone else in the world needs love too, just like we do, when we are full of God's love and when we're sharing God's love, it will impact everyone around us. Because then they too will begin to experience what it means to know God's love. And they'll experience that through us. Love is a basic need that we all have in our lives. So pray. Pray that we might all know the fullness of God's love for us. Pray that we would all know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. Pray that we might be so filled with God's love that it flows out of our lives and that it touches everyone around us. Pray that the world might know the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we join before you this day, and we give you thanks for your love, a love that we recognize that we don't deserve, a love that you offer to us not because of how wonderful and good we are, but a love that you share with us in spite of our sin and in spite of our messes. But yet, a love that is so vital and so important to us and to our lives and to our ability to thrive. And so we ask that you would fill us with your love. We ask that we would know your love in our lives. And we ask as well that you would help us to share that love with those around us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.